please grab your Bibles and remain standing with me this morning as we read our portion of Scripture. Happy Mother's Day to you ladies this morning, and we're just so blessed that you're here today. So classic of a mother, you know, wife, so don't get me anything, just come to church. I mean, that's just a classic makeup of a mother. Turn your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 31 this morning. We're going to look at verses 10 through 31, and we've entitled the message, The Truth About Beauty. The Truth About Beauty. And what we're going to do is we're going to read our passage, we're going to pray, and then I'm going to have the mothers remain standing this morning as I lift them up before the Lord. So Proverbs chapter 31, we'll pick it up in verse 10. It says, An excellent wife who can find her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool, flax, and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar, and she rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it, and from her earnings she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arm strong. She senses that her gain is good, and her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all of her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments, sells them, and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this portion of Scripture. It was never written to bring about an impossible challenge to women, but it's truly describing God's woman. It's all that a woman can become if she loves the Lord, honors God, and has a fear of the Lord. And so, Lord, we thank you for this portion of Scripture. We pray that it would encourage the hearts of the women this day. I pray that we would cooperate with God's wonderful plan. And pray that none of us in any way would try to thwart or hinder what the Lord would be doing. Lord, we pray for the surrounding churches in our area this morning that they too would proclaim the Word of God on this Sunday. Pray that God is exalted this day and that the Scriptures are expounded upon. I pray that ears would be open to hear what the Spirit of God would say. We thank you, Lord, for this nation of ours. And what a strange thing that throughout the year we sort of tear mothers down, and then we have a day where we thank them. And so I pray that this nation would return back to you, Lord, would return back to putting God first, starting with our president, that he would give his life to you, that he would surrender and make Jesus the priority of his life. Pray for that. We pray for the Congress, the Senate, the same thing, that these men and women would be worthy of respect. Our governor, Lord, that you bring Jerry Brown to Jesus Christ, Lord. He needs you, Lord, and desperately, and pray that he would come to trust you and know you. I pray also, Lord, for the local cities that are represented here this morning, and we pray for those in authority, Lord, that you would grant them your wisdom in the governing of our daily lives and the cities that we find ourselves in. And so we pray for them this day. We also pray for the various missions that this congregation supports in India, Pastor Hallelujah, Pastor Jacob, and Myanmar Young Crusaders in Burma, and we pray for Mexico, Lord, La Misión. We pray for the Ventura family in Tecate, Lord, and we pray for Jerry Brown, U-Turn for Christ, and God's Chosen People, and the other missions that this congregation supports. Be with them on this Lord's Day. Bless the Word of God that goes forth from their mouth this day. And so we pray, Lord, that we would see this as the worship service, that as we give attention to your word, and we allow you to teach us, you will transform us. So let us worship in spirit and in truth. And so we ask all of this in Jesus' matchless name we pray. Amen. If I can have the mothers remain standing. Those that are expecting mothers, I would like you to stand too. And I appreciate you ladies being here this morning. I know you can, it's kind of your day. It's your only day. This is your day, and so you can kind of make a decision what you like to do. And I'm sure the heartbeat of every mother is they want their family here. They want to be in church. So I think you've chosen the best. And I pray that the Lord really blesses you today, and that even like Proverbs 31, that your husband, your children will rise up and say, "Blessed are you, mother, this day." Lord, I thank you for these ladies. I my heart goes out to them. What a thankless job that often they have. And I pray that you would bless them on this Mother's Day, that you would bless their marriages, Lord. I'm sure there's some here that are married to non-believers, Lord, and it can be very difficult. And I pray that they would be encouraged this day, that they're doing the right thing by building a godly character. And so I pray that you bless them, bless their marriage. Pray that you bring their husband to salvation, Lord, that they would see him sitting next to them on a weekly basis, Lord, save their souls. I pray for these mothers that have unsaved children, that you would save their souls, Lord, bring them to salvation. I pray for those mothers that are doing it all over again. There's some here that are raising their grandchildren, Lord. Oh, the strength they need. So give them an extra portion of your Holy Spirit this day. Fill them with yourself. Let every one of these mothers be encouraged that they're serving you by being a mother/wife. And I pray that we as children would cooperate and not try to stop what they're doing. Let us pray for them. Let us lift them up. Let us encourage them, not just on Mother's Day either. And so we pray for them on this day. Bless their day, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Every year I like to turn to salary.com, because salary.com, of course, throughout the year, it's looked at the various jobs, the different hats that mothers wear, and then at the end of the year, they give mom a salary. Two different salaries, actually, a salary for the full-time mom, and then also for the mom that works, and then also then comes back into the home. Now, what they've done is they go and they look at and interviewed over 6,000 mothers as to their quantified hours and the jobs that they do, along with the overtime that they put in order to accomplish their task. And they've come to the conclusion that an average mom, a stay-at-home mom, works approximately 94 hours a week. And then the mother that works outside the home and then comes back to the home works an additional 58 hours to their probably already 40-hour week. Now, this year, good news for mom, she got a raise of $400-some. I know you'd be excited about that. And so, for a full-time mom within the home in 2014, her new salary is $114,000. Woohoo! They're all excited. Okay. Now, for those ladies that not only work within the home, but work outside the home, sorry, you're flatlined this year. You don't get a raise this year, but you're salary on top of your regular job would be $67,436 for being a mom. One of the ladies that was reading these stats made this observation: better appreciate your stay-at-home mom, because you probably couldn't afford to hire her. And with that, I'd say amen to that. I mean, when you look at all the various jobs and the things that a woman does, it is quite staggering. Now, I realize today can be a difficult day. It's a day that ladies generally like, but along with Mother's Day, it can be a difficult day. And let me suggest some of the reasons why it can be difficult. First of all, there's some mothers here today, I'm sure, that you've had a child that has gone to be with the Lord. And so Mother's Day, again, can remind you of that, and you miss that child so much. So this day can be one of those difficult days. Now, for some, it can be difficult because maybe you're currently going through a divorce. Maybe you've been through a divorce, and now there's what's-her-face as part of the family now. So there's that whole thing going on there, and you long for her face to be on a milk carton, but that's just not the way it is. And so that wasn't even in my notes. I wonder where that came from, you know. And then for some, it's kind of difficult because you came to the Lord later on in years. And so now as you become a child of God, a Christian, you're looking at what the Bible says and you're going, oh, no, not Mother's Day. Because, boy, I haven't been the mother I should have been. But that's okay, because now you can walk with God and God can make changes. And so we don't, no guilt on any mothers this day if you've just come to the Lord, because God wants to work in you and through you. And then there's for some, and as I noted this week, read some articles, that this is a difficult day for some because your mother has gone to be with the Lord. And so here we're celebrating Mother's Day. Mother's not here. And so in some ways it can be rather difficult. And then there, of course, are some children that have a difficult day because mom wasn't the example that she really should have been. And so this day can kind of go several different ways. And so I think it's an important day. I think it would be foolish for us not to stop what we're doing and acknowledge mothers and to speak about the importance of mothers and so forth. Now, Proverbs 31 is a very well-known portion of Scripture. And I think if you look down at Proverbs 31, I think some of the titles over Proverbs 31 is the virtuous woman. This is often what it's referred to. But I want to give a few thoughts as we look at this passage this morning. First of all, the description of the wife mother is of her character, not of her appearance. And I want to bring that out. It seems like today it's such a shallow society that so much of our attention is on the external and we neglect what's most important, which is the internal. And so when you look at this description that we're about to look at, there isn't anything that speaks about her physical makeup at all. It all has to do with her character. What's inside of her is what the focus happens to be upon. Next, it was written to build up and to show a woman her God-given potential. So there isn't, I don't necessarily think that there is a woman that embodies all of this, but what he's showing us is what a woman can be. I mean, this is the potential. I mean, here is the standard. I mean, and this is ultimately some of the things that a woman can do. Also, this description may not even be a specific person, but a simple description of God's woman. It's literally, again, all you can be. So it may not even be a real person, because I know there's some women with guns and knives that want to find this woman. So that's not the point. She may not be a real person at all. But lastly, the book of Proverbs starts with wisdom in Proverbs 1:7, and then it ends with a woman modeling wisdom. So who better to model it than this godly woman that is described to us here in Proverbs. Now, the point that this passage makes is that a woman's true beauty is found in the Lord. That's what beauty is. When the Bible describes beauty, it is always describing the character, that which is inside. It's this love for the Lord. It's this fear of the Lord. It is this desire to honor the Lord is all summed up and what we would call beauty. Now, in verse 30, it says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Now, I want us to notice the context of this virtuous woman, as she is called. If you look at verse 1 of chapter 31, notice it says, the words of King Lemuel, the oracle which his mother taught him. Now, who is King Lemuel? He's called the king of Massa, or Mesa, and most believe that it's Solomon. Many believe that this is another title or another name that was given to Solomon. And let me just say, that really doesn't matter. I mean, that's not the point this morning. The point is that this is a mother writing to her son. That's the point. He is a king, she is writing to him, and she is saying to him some very important things that she wants him to get. Now look at verse 2. What, O my son, what, O son of my womb, what, O son of my vows? And basically what she's saying is, sonny boy, you better listen. You better listen up to what a mother has to say. So what she does in verses 3 through 9 is that she warns her son about two evils. She warns him about two different evils that will absolutely destroy his life. The first warning is in verse 3, and it's a warning against women. Now, this is interesting. It's a warning against women. Verse 3 says, do not give your strength to women or your ways to what or that which destroys kings. Now, if this was Solomon, he didn't listen to mom. That we can safely say. Because Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Matter of fact, when you read about it in Ecclesiastes, he wanted to commit suicide. I don't know if it was after he got married or before, but he wanted to commit suicide. And again, what we're talking about is what Paul talks about in 1 Timothy 3:2, a one-woman man is what he's talking about. We can love a woman, period. The problem is that when we love women, that's the problem. And I think every one of us in here know an individual like this that goes from woman to woman, loving multiple women, and all the problems that it brings. Oh, the lack of Christ-likeness it comes when you're not a one-woman man. And so, unfortunately, if this is Solomon, he certainly didn't take mom's advice on this one. The second warning is in verses 4 through 9, and it's a warning against alcohol. Look at verse 4. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, or for rulers to desire strong drink. The estimations are that over 20 million Americans are drunks. 20 million Americans. And the stats I looked up yesterday noted that underage drinking is 10.8 million drinkers. And we're talking teenagers here, folks. 10.8 million. So again, not listening to mom on this one either. This multiplying of women, this love of women, and then this love of alcohol. So in verses 10 through 31, we have a mother's guide for choosing a wife and a mother. Now, ladies, how would you like your mother-in-law to give your job description? How would you like that? Some of you are going, ew. But think about that. I mean, that's literally what we have here. We probably have Solomon's mother, Bathsheba, actually telling him what to look for. What is a godly wife? What is a godly mother? These are the things that you are to look for. Now, we keep in mind that the marriages were prearranged marriages by the parents. And really, who should know the son better than his own mother that brought him into the world and hopefully has spent time and got to know him? And so what she's doing is she's giving the advice. She's giving the direction of what to look for in a godly wife / godly mother. Now, here's the thought of our passage. Genuine beauty is not found outwardly through appearance, but inwardly through a life given to God. That, in a nutshell, is what this proverb is saying. That the focus should not be merely the external, but it needs to be an internal observation of the woman that loves the Lord, the woman that fears the Lord, and the woman that wants to be pleasing to the Lord. Now, what I'm going to do this morning is give 10 observations. I'm going to look at 10 things. Now, there is so much that could be said here in these verses before us, but I'm going to kind of just reduce it to 10 areas, and we're just going to hit on these areas, and then along the way we'll mention some of these characteristics and so forth as we work our way through. But the very first one is in verses 10 through 12. And the first characteristic is she is upright in character. The thing that makes this woman stand out is her character. It says, an excellent wife, who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. Well, excellent or virtuous, as the King James refers to it, means noble, capable character. What we're describing is someone with an outstanding character. We're talking about someone that has a Christ-like character is the description. It's interesting, in Ruth chapter 3, verse 11, when Boaz met Ruth, Boaz makes this observation to Ruth. In Ruth 3:11, it says, for all my people in the city know that you are a woman of excellence. That's the same word. It's the same phrase. It's describing a capable, noble character, a Christ-like character. Notice what Solomon says about this characteristic. It's rare. An excellent wife, who can find? So it is a certain characteristic of a woman that is quite rare. It's quite difficult to find. And I suggest to you that as time goes by, it's getting more and more difficult to find such a woman. Some years back in 1997, historian Joan Jacobs Brumberg put out a book entitled The Body Project. And what she did was she went back over the last 100 years and she was basically addressing women, and she says, boy, women have sure changed in the last 100 years. The things that women prized 100 years ago, they don't prize them today. And she went on to note that in many cases, women have become extremely shallow in what they think is important. As she goes on to describe, she says, in the past century, improving one's character through good works was important, but today, it's improving one's body through grueling workouts. That seems to be the most important thing. She went on to note that the development of character through selfless acts of charity used to be extremely important, but she said today that's been replaced by the vain pursuit of a sculptured body. She said that seems to be the most important thing to a woman today. In over 100 years, things have drastically changed. Notice the next thing. Not only is it rare, but it's precious, for her worth is far above jewels. You can't put a price tag on a woman who's got a godly character. There isn't even a price that you can place on it. It's so rare, it's so priceless, you can't do so. And how sad it is that so often we put so much stock in the physical. We put so much stock in what we can see. I remember a few years ago there was an article I read that was talking about the main thing that people look for when they buy a house, and it's curb appeal. It's how does the house look from the street? Doesn't matter if you walk through the door and there's no house. I mean, as long as it looks good from the curb, that's what really matters. And I thought to myself, isn't that shallow? Back in the old days, we'd want to find out if we were hooked up to the sewer or something. You know, we'd want to find out if there's, you know, is it actually have a sewer at this house? Is there natural gas? Is it propane? Does the electrical work? When you turn on the lights, does the neighbor's lights go on? I mean, what goes on here in this house? But instead, they said, oh, it looks good from the curb. Oh, that's the house I want. And that's what we do. And I think when it comes to relationships, it's the same thing. It's this shallow, shallow sort of gingerbread, you know, sort of choosing that we do based upon how things look. So you see a lot that are planning for marriage. They put so much time into preparation for the color scheme of the wedding. They put so much into the reception, the place settings, you know, what foods are going to be offered. All of that is so important, but premarital counseling isn't even in the thought there. There's no concern about developing Christ-like character in the husband and the wife. It's more concerned about the ceremony. The 20-minute ceremony seems to take precedent as they think of a life together. Well, verse 11 says, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. You see, she earned her husband's trust by working with him instead of against him. And that's the plan. That's the plan of marriage. That the wife comes along as a helper to help. It's not so that she takes the light. It's not that she takes over. That's never been God's plan. It's so that she comes alongside of the husband and they work together as a team. That's always been God's plan. 1 Peter 3:7 says it this way, you husbands likewise live with your wives in an understanding way. It's with the weaker vessel. Since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life so that your prayers may not be hindered. It's a partnership. They're not competitors. They're on the same team. And that's the point that Proverbs is making. She's part of the team. She's not trying to run the team. She's coming alongside to make sure that the team runs together. That's the whole purpose. I think one of the worst examples of this, it's the absolute opposite, is in Genesis 27. You can jot that down. That's that incident there between Rebekah and Isaac. Boy, you talk about a marriage in which they're divided. You got the wife eavesdropping on the husband. You got the wife scheming with her favorite son, Jacob, what to do. And then you got the father's favorite son, Ishmael, you know, or, yeah, trying to, not Ishmael, Esau, trying to figure out, you know, how he can do this. And all the scheming that's going on, everybody's spying on everybody, you know. It's just a weird, weird family relationship. is the absolute opposite of what God wants when he speaks about the home. And verse 12 says, she does him good, not evil, all the days of her life. I can't imagine me being able to study and do what I do without my wife. I mean, she basically keeps everything going, I can assure you. I mean, I can't even finish a whole glass of water without her filling it back up. You know, it's like she's constantly waiting on me, answering the phone, doing all sorts of stuff, and that's just what she does. And what an awesome thing when you have a spouse like that that is making things happen, keeping the whole thing moving, the whole thing going. There's a one against the other, but it's one complementing the other, causing the whole thing to work. Proverbs 31:23 says, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Proverbs 31:31, give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Now those that are married to non-believers, again, are you being supportive? You need to be supportive. Even if they're a non-believer, you've got to be supportive. That's the role of the wife, coming alongside, being supportive, not being in competition. Praying for them. Find out how you can make things run smoother. How to work things together. Building a godly character through the whole process. That's really what it is. And that's really the call of the / wife mother. This brings us to number 2 in verses 13 through 22 and also verse 24. She is an energetic worker. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. Notice the word works. It's used here in verse 13. It's also used in verse 31. The term hands, verse 13, verse 19, verse 20. The term arms, verse 17. The term household, verse 15, verse 21, verse 27. I mean, this is a woman that's working within the home. The home is a priority to her. That's what she's doing. Look at verse 13. She looks for wool and flax. She's a shopper. There it is, ladies. There's your verse. Praise God, I'm happy I came. There it is. I think it was last year, a couple years ago, my wife and I stopped at that desert outlet going out to Palm Springs, and we stopped at, is it Brighton? It's a Brighton purse store, and they happened to be having a sale. So I went in there, we were on the motorcycle, and I went in with my wife's purse, and she says, you know, go put this purse back in the motorcycle. Now that was an experience, me carrying a purse to a motorcycle, you know, and so as I was walking out, I was accosted by women saying, where'd you get that bag? Where'd you get that bag? I go, it's not mine. It's my wife's bag. It's not my bag. And so, you know, just basically accosting me, trying to figure out where I got the bag and if they could get it from me. Get away from me. Get thee behind me. As I ran out and put that bag in the bike. Women love to shop. I mean, this is no mystery. I mean, it's just, I mean, my wife says, look what I bought. It's on sale. I go, that means they're selling it. That's what on sale means. They're selling it. That's what that means. But again, it just speaks about the woman as the shopper. She's out there looking for the deal. You know, going out there trying to find this, trying to find that. And the Bible says that she works with her hands in delight. She loves a new challenge. She gets excited about a new challenge. Wives / mothers are ever busy. It's like the father that was showing his little girl their wedding pictures when they got married. And so they're looking at all the pictures and the little girl looks at the picture of mommy, and she says, Daddy, is that the day you got mommy to come and work for us? That's basically it. That's it. That was the day. That was the wedding day. Look at verse 14. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from Sam's and Costco. There it is in verse 14. There it is. And we all know what it's like, you know, when things get a little depleted in the house. Things are so bad, you're putting mustard on soda crackers. That's when things have really gotten bad. And then what happens? In comes the Dodge Grand Caravan. Mom, the ship's captain, comes in to the garage. And in comes the cargo of Captain Crunch. You know, the chimichangas from Costco. I mean, all the basics. And the kids run out and bring in the ice cream sandwiches and the Doritos and bring all the stuff in, you know. And again, that's what moms do. I mean, moms know. And I don't know what it is. My wife always accused me of this. Where's the ketchup? It's like right here, right in front of my face. Where's the ketchup? I don't know. I can't find the ketchup. You know, here it is. Oh, okay, I found it now. It's like, can't find any. But, you know, they know where everything's at. They know what needs to be bought next. And moms are just always, and wives are always into this whole thing. And we're lost. We don't know what we're looking for. And verse 15 says, she rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. Again, a lot could be said about this, but had one woman tell me one time, she says, a real Mother's Day for me would be cooking three meals and not getting any negative comments. That, to me, is Mother's Day. To be able to get through an entire breakfast, lunch, and dinner and have no one say, you left this out, you didn't cook it like you did last time, you forgot this, you forgot that, and on and on and on it goes. You know, kind of a shame. We already kind of planned for our Mother's Day today, but I found out the Baker's has mama deals. Check this out. A mama baker, buy one, get one free. Now, some say that's being frugal. I think it's being a good steward of God's money. So I think that's the way I like it. So you buy mama special, and then you get one free. So check it out. And who knows, my heart may be warm enough to power size it for 50 cents more. I'm not sure, but I'm going to lean that way. So, but again, this even on Mother's Day, often mother's still cooking. They say, Mother, what do you want for your day? Okay, will you make that for us then? You know, that's kind of what it is, you know. And everybody laughs at it. Or else, can you please clean up the mess we just made, you know. It's the sink looks like the Tower of Babel, and all we did was make waffles or something, you know. It's just an absolute mess. But that's what mothers and wives, that's just what it is. And it's, again, so you want to baker it, I don't know. Okay, maids. Notice this maidens here. This is interesting. This word maidens could be translated maids are servants. So this particular wife slash mother had outside help. Now I find this interesting. Again, if a wife is working outside the home, and then she's expected to maintain the house when she's gone 40 hours, is next to impossible. So there needs to be help from the outside. And so here is this woman that is so extremely busy, but it even mentions the fact that she have maids and servants. I remember when I was doing premarital counseling, I would always suggest this to couples, that if they're both going to be working, then we need to budget for someone to come in and help. You know, guys, you know, they work 40 hours and they're passed out. They're just so tired, you know, and here's the wife who's worth 40 and now works another 54 on top of that. And so there needs to be some compensation there. There's got to be some help because this job of mother slash wife is never ending. So there needs to be support, and I find it interesting that it would mention that she had these maids or these servants alongside of her. Verse 16 says, she considers a field and buys it, and from her earnings she plants a vineyard. The question's often asked, can a woman work outside the home? Well, this one did. I mean, this woman was involved in real estate. There's a woman buying a piece of land. Not only that, she gets into agriculture by planting this particular vineyard. As long as the home and God is first, the priorities need to be God's priorities. It's possible. You could possibly be a doctor as long as God is the priority. God must be first. The spouse, the children, the operation of the home, all of those things need to be worked out. They need to be worked within the grid of our relationship with the Lord and putting God first. What is God saying? That's really what the question is. It's not what everyone's doing. What is God saying? Verse 17 says, she girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good and her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. Notice it says that her lamp does not go out at night. Now that's interesting because, again, lamps in Bible times were empowered by oil, basically olive oil. So if one wasn't up on how much oil was left in the lamp, and if one was not up on is there any extra oil, I mean, at nighttime it can get real dark, because if you don't have any oil, you don't have any light. And so this is a woman that's constantly up on what's going on in the home, what is necessary. And again, sometimes as husbands we complain about our wives buying things, but oh, when the need comes up, then we should thank them. I was just thinking, my wife, you know, sometimes in January, February, she's already planning for next Christmas. And I'm going, can we just finish this thing off, you know? But she's already thinking about it. And then when Christmas comes, I go, boy, that was a great idea, you know, just getting this thing, you know. Or, oh, look at this. Let's buy this for one of the grandkids. I said, well, you know, they're going to be 13 in 9 years. Well, can't we just wait a little bit? You know, it's like, no, let's just get it now for them, you know. And then that day comes where you're just so thankful that they had that hindsight to say, you know, this is what we got to do. You know, let's plan for the future, you know, and let's do this, let's do that. Jean Fleming, I love her book. It's called A Mother's Heart. She describes a time in her life where she was a missionary. She had an infant, she had a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old all at the same time. She went on to describe those years, and she said, brushing my teeth was considered recreation. And she said that shaving both legs was considered a luxury. Now, some of you ladies know what that's like. If you got young little ankle biters in the home, you know what that's like and how tough that can be. Verse 24 says, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. So she's into manufacturing at the same time. She's also a businesswoman all at the same time. Number 3, in verse 20, she has a heart of compassion. Verse 20 says, she extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. Now this describes the compassion that a wife/mother exhibits. It is quite amazing, I mean, to see this. I see this with my wife, and it's amazing to watch at times because we don't pick up on it as guys. But it's not enough that they take care of their children. It's not enough that they think of the grandchildren, but they're always looking for someone else that's in need or someone else that could use this or use that. And you may not even think that, but that's just part of that whole makeup of being a woman, being a mother, being a wife. That they go beyond even their family. They go beyond within the marriage and the family and the grandkids. They go beyond that and they see others that are in need and they see others that could use some help. Proverbs 14:21, he who despises his neighbor sins, but happy is he who is gracious to the poor. Proverbs 19:17, he who is gracious to the poor man lends to the Lord and he will repay him for his good deeds. Proverbs 31:21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet, our redemption. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is of fine linen. It speaks of purity and purple. It speaks of royalty. And when it speaks about being clothed in the Bible, it always speaks of being doubly clothed. It's describing who a mother is. It's describing who a wife is. This is what she is. She's embodied men. This is what she is. She's clothed in God's righteousness. She's clothed with God's character. Number 4 in verse 23, her husband is better because of her. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Now, the loyal wife doesn't want to take her husband's place. She wants to do her own work and make it easier for her husband to do his. It is so sad when you see competition. Competition can be a good thing, but there's certain times it's not good. When you got a mother in competition with a teenager saying, I wear the same clothes they do, there's something wrong with that. When you got a mother arguing, saying, do I look younger than my 13-year-old, maybe acting like a 13-year-old, I think that that's acceptable. But this is wrong. And you see it in some marriages, this competition that's going on. The Proverbs 31 woman knows nothing of this. She knows what God wants her to do, and she does it. She does it hoping that it will be a benefit to her husband, and things will be easier for her husband in the process. Wise is the husband that recognizes his weakness and his wife's strengths. Wise is the husband that utilizes the strengths of his wife and isn't threatened by the fact that his wife is better in that than he is. It's not this us against each other. That's not what he's describing here. He's describing almost like two dancers flowing together. This is the description here. It's working together. It's benefiting him every step of the way. Verse 24, she makes linen garments, sells them, and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Verse 25 is the fifth one. She smiles at the future. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. Again, clothing speaks of her life. It's what she is clothed with. It's literally what she is. It's her character. It's her conduct. She's clothed in God's character. That's the description here. It's that of strength and dignity. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, and Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 14. It says strength and dignity are her clothing. So it's the characteristics of her. It's the very makeup of who this woman is. If you turn over to 1 Peter 3, 3 and 4, it describes the exact same thing. This is the New Testament equivalent to Proverbs 31, is in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. He's describing the wife, the role of the wife, and he's describing what a wife is to exemplify, what a wife is to cherish, what a wife needs to look at as important. 1 Peter 3, 3, let not your adornment be merely external, braiding the hair, wearing gold jewelry, and putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. Have you ever noticed, ladies, the styles come and go? I mean, it is amazing to me. I heard someone say some time back, they said, whatever clothes you have that are out of style, leave them in your closet because they'll come back in style. And that's true. You got the hemline up, down, you know, it's all over the place. All these different little styles that are constantly changing. White belts in, black belts out, you know, all these different styles that are coming and going. And I think the reason for that is that it gets monotonous. I mean, people get tired of it. But there's one style that will never go out of business and never go out of style and never be looked down upon. That's godliness. It's the beauty of a relationship with God. Someone that has taken on the characteristics of the Lord is irresistible. I mean, it's one of the most beautiful characteristics that a person can possess. Whether it be that of a man, that of a woman, there's nothing more beautiful than the character of Christ shining through a person. And that's the description here of this woman, this characteristics of Christ shining through. And it says that she smiles at the future, or literally she makes sport of. She plays or she jests of the thought of the future. Why is that? Because she's prayed up. She's trusting in the Lord. Her faith is in the Lord. She doesn't freak out over what the news media says. She doesn't freak out over what all the newest trends are. Why? Because she is anchored in the Lord. Her relationship is in the Lord. This brings us now to number 6 in verse 26. She is a teacher of wisdom. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. So this is a description of the counsel that she gives. So what comes out of this woman's mouth? Well, wisdom comes out. That's what comes out. It's prudence. It's that which is ethical, that which is spiritual. So spiritual wisdom comes out of her mouth, not the newest fad. Not what the polls are saying. That isn't what comes out of her mouth. She's not concerned about that. And her teaching, her instruction, her direction is that of kindness. Again, it was Beecher who says, the mother's heart is the child's schoolroom. William Stuart Ross, the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. So why is it that this wisdom and this teaching just flows from this woman's mouth? Because this woman is not a taker, she's a giver. And the reason she's a giver is because she's been drawing from the well of the Holy Spirit. That's why. She's in the Word of God. She's in prayer. She fellowships with God's people. So that when a question of life comes up, she just pulls it right out of the well. She's been drinking from that well for a long time. So she knows where to get refreshment. She knows where to get the answers. It's not from Dr. Phil, but it's from the Scriptures. That's where she gets them. She goes deep into the Scriptures, and the Spirit of God pulls it up. And I'll tell you, when you can find a woman like that, you young ladies need to be discipled by a woman. You find one that loves the Lord. You find one that's walked with the Lord. You find one that's in the Word of God, one that's in prayer. And oh, the wisdom and the wealth that comes from them. of what to do. Because this woman knows that she's modeling to her children how to be a married woman, how to love a husband. She's constantly doing that. She's modeling to them. You know, ladies, mothers, you're modeling to your children the type of marriage that they're going to aspire to. Something on TV some time back, and they're interviewing people about marriage, and they said, well, you know, what do you think about marriage? Oh, I'll probably get married, and I'll probably get divorced. You see, that's because that's what they're seeing. That's what they're around. Well, this is a woman of wisdom that says, no, one marriage partner for life. It's one commitment for life. That's it. That's the commitment you make. You make it for life, and you enjoy it. You love it because God empowers you. This brings us to the seventh point here in verse 27. She is an observant overseer of the home. She's an observant overseer of the home. Verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Again, as guys, we look at the house and everything's pretty much in order. A wife looks and give you a list of nine things that should be done, should have been done, and things that need to be on the to-do list. Thursday, I was sitting on the patio and I was reading, and there was a blue jay that was letting me know I shouldn't be on his patio, which I found interesting. As I sat there, this blue jay kept getting closer and closer to me, squawking and squawking and squawking. And then when the guy came to work on the pool, this thing starts attacking or going towards the pool guy. I go, what is going on here? We kind of figured it out that obviously there's a nest someplace there. And so here's this classic mother bird, you know, warning us, back off, this is my house. This is where I'm at. This is where my young are. Just stay away. And how classic of a mother and a wife to know what's going on in the home, to know what's needed right now, what needs to take place. And again, that's what they do. They're so in tune with what's going on. They're such observers of what needs to happen and what needs to take place. Psalms 127:3 says, behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. I really believe that motherhood is the essence of womanhood. And I know there's some that would reject that statement that I just made. You can do quite well without having children. You can do quite well without getting married. You don't have to do all of that. You can just love your cat or love your dog and you'll be fine. But even that in and of itself reveals that they're called to be mothers because they're mothering something. And often women that are just so against this, if you watch them, they try to mother everyone in the office. Oh, you need more cream in your coffee. I know how to make my coffee. It's like they're just constantly wanting to mother something. So I really believe that motherhood is the essence of womanhood. God generally created women for that purpose. And it's within the home that you see this lived out on a daily basis. The home and how the home goes together. The observant overseer of the home. Again, it says here, and does not eat the bread of idleness. So she doesn't sit around and watch as Jerusalem turns and eats bonbons. She doesn't do that. She is in tune with what's going on. She knows what the home is and knows what needs to be done. Number eight. Verses 28, 29. She's a woman worthy of praise. She's a woman worthy of praise. Verse 28 says, her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Now, the suggestion here is that this praise is expressed regularly and spontaneously. Oh, I err in this area, and I think that I should more often show gratitude towards what our wife does, what our mothers do, that we should be thankful. They didn't have a Mother's Day in Israel. We got one today. We said, well, they got it once a year. Let them be happy with that. No, that's not the point. The point is that we're to be thankful for God's great plan and God's great order. And we're to acknowledge that and give hearts of gratitude and thankfulness for what God has done. This idea of fulfillment is such a subjective buzzword. I mean, what is fulfillment to one person may not be it to another, but when God describes fulfillment, It is a woman given to him. That's fulfillment. A woman that loves the Lord, fears the Lord, honors the Lord, desires to see God honored and glorified in her life. That is fulfillment. That is what a woman was created to be. That is it. The very fact that your children would respect you and your husband would respect you and they speak good things about you behind your back, that in and of itself says volumes about the praise and about the fulfillment that comes from your life. And lastly, our number 9 in verse 30, just two more to go. Number 9, verse 30, her praise is a result of fearing God. Notice her fear of the Lord. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Charm is favor, grace, elegance. And he says that charm in and of itself, if that's what a woman is attempting to utilize in order to get her praise and to find her fulfillment, the Bible says it's deceitful. It's fraudulent is what it is. It's wrong. That's not what it's about. Niceness isn't what it's about. Beauty isn't what it's about, because beauty is fleeting. It's not lasting. It's a relationship with God. It's the fear of the Lord. This fear is reverential fear towards God, a respectful love and concern towards the Lord. That is what is worthy of praise. 1 Peter 3:4, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. God says, in this she will be praised. So it's not her meals, it's not her upkeeping of the house, but it's the characteristic of Christ in her. That is what calls for praise, is because she has a fear for the Lord and she loves the Lord and is concerned about being honoring to Him. And then lastly, number 10 in verse 31, she will be shown honor. She will be shown honor. A woman like this has to be shown honor. Now, verse 31 is an unusual verse. It says, give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. You know, the gates was like city hall. The gates of the city is where the elders, the rulers assembled. It's where court was held. I don't know of any other place in Scripture where a woman is spoken of and is exalted at the gates of a city. You just don't do that at the gates of the city. That isn't where something like that would take place. But because this woman is so unusual, her recognition also is unusual. You have no other thing that you can do, is you've got to bless her at the gates. Based upon her characteristics of Christ, this is the appropriate place to do it. This is the place where everybody's at. This is the place where everyone needs to know. So because of who she is and what she has done, this is the place of recognition. And so this woman now is praised at a place where they're usually not praised. You know, ladies, here's a good test to know where you're at. Does your children and your husband respect you? When they look at you, do they just say, Mom is it? Do they have a respect for you? Because the next question is, how do they talk about you to other people? Because that's really, in many ways, a sign of where we're at. Do they respect me, husband and children, and how do they speak about me towards others? By way of application and closing, I want to leave us with just 5 basic thoughts. Some of these are real simple, but 5 thoughts. Number 1, this passage is an encouragement to every Christian woman that she can become if she loves, fears, and honors the Lord. Number 2, this passage describes for every Christian man the kind of wife, mother, for whom he ought to be praying and cooperating with God to help him to produce. You know, I often hear guys going, I'm looking for my Proverbs 31 woman. Well, what about you, buckaroo? How are you doing? Are you a Christian slug? What are you? Well, as soon as I get this 31 woman, I'm going to marry her. Well, I don't think she'd marry you. That's the issue. So this stuff of us always wanting the woman to do this and do that, I mean, it's amazing to me. You know, it's like, you know, oh, my wife's not as slim as she used to be. Well, what about you with your spare tire? You know, it's like, I just don't get this stuff sometimes. So I'm looking for the Proverbs 31 woman. Well, what about you? Number three, unmarried man should walk with the Lord, grow in his spiritual life so that he will be worthy of such a wife if and when God brings her to him. So it starts right now, and I think that even goes for every one of us that are married. We need to cooperate with God's plan. There's no doubt about it. And we need to be part of it, not part of the problem, part of the solution. Number four, wife, mother, do you have a relationship with the Lord? Because these things are absolutely unattainable without Jesus. It's just not going to happen. And then husband slash father, do you have a relationship with the Lord? Because we can't be supportive and we can't experience the marriage that it talks about here unless we have the Lord too. So we're going to pray right now. Let's have no one leave because this is a very, very important time. We're talking about the family. We're talking about marriage this morning. We're talking about how God's plan works. And this is a time where we need to examine our hearts. Maybe this morning, this may be a Mother's Day message, but maybe there's some dads that need to get up this morning and come on down and say, you know what? I have not been helping at all. I have actually been more of a weight than a wing in our marriage and family. I'm not helping at all. Maybe there's some sons and daughters here that would say, you know, I need to confess I have made things difficult for Mom. So maybe today, even though this is a Mother's Day, man, we need to repent of this stuff. We're not helping the marriage. We're not helping the family. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for these precious people that came out on this Mother's Day. But these things are very important that we talked about. We're seeing society literally falling apart. And it's because we don't honor God. We don't honor our wives. We don't honor our husbands. And we're not treating our children properly. And we're seeing a total breakdown of the family. Lord, let us realign ourselves with you this morning. Let us turn from our way to God's way. And for some, it's coming to Jesus this morning. We need to come and trust you. Some of us need to forsake our sinful ways this morning and start following Jesus. We're so in so much competition instead of being complimentary. And it's wrong. It's sinful. So help us, Lord, to cooperate with your plan. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand as we